Wolf Dreams, Hollow Wakes by Ultra Chicory. Chapter 16, Remaining Nameless. Solas has been hiding from Chia long enough. Their paths must cross again. He can no longer keep his sentiments in check in her presence, and one more kindly touch will certainly be his ultimate undoing. Warning, NSFW. Contains alcohol references, adult language, and super vague anatomical descriptions, and non-explicit sexual situations. Solas could not remember a time when dreaming held so little appeal. For once, remaining on the side of the present, of reality, was more than enough to hold his full attentions. And there was much to consider. Trouble was brewing deep in the south, and what unknown beast lay below the dales would not be left undisturbed much longer. They only awaited new reports from the scouts. Just that morning, been sent ahead before leaving to join the fray, Solas himself had not explored those dark and twisted woods for some years, and could only take educated guesses as to what they would still find lingering there. To speak with any certainty about what Corypheus sought, or what lay deep in the shadowy forest, denoted madness, not intelligence. He'd vexed through many long pronounced evenings, having learned of the suppositions that Morgan overconfidently spouted across the war table after their return from Emperor DeLoyne. To think of the nerve that woman must possess to audaciously tout her alleged knowledge of the Elvenan lore, even to rub the noses of their inquisitor about her alluvion, was demoralizing. The condescending witch had certainly been most wise to decline his entreat to view her appropriated mirror, and wiser still not to trust him anywhere near it. Let her dabble while she may. But her antics would eventually come back at her for owed recompense. Such foolery always ended thus. As much as he did not want to expose himself to the same fate that had battered him during his decline in Orlais, Solas would not waste a chance to seek out his now silent friend. No whispers, no hints, no energy left where they had often dwelt. He feared the gifted vision that cost the spirit dearly. Such rare contributions of foresight were never exempt, but much of the price had not been paid by him, even if Solas had not left the dream unscathed. If only he knew what to do with the information granted. Use it to prevent what must never come to be. If that were truly the path before them, a path that would make the suffering endured worth it, but he had none. He'd snuck away yet again, abandoning the rotunda where he normally resided, finding solace in the oft-unused study deep beneath the keep. He was free to pursue all manner of plagued thoughts, unobstructed and uninterrupted by any company, amenable or otherwise. Solas pushed open the habitually overlooked door. The castle had been in a ruinous state when they'd commandeered it. No one had the energy to waste on repairing the forgotten personal library of a long-dead scholar, stuffed from floor to ceiling with archaic text. It still had yet to be amended or repurposed. Replete with dust, moldering books, and sagging cobwebs, he doubted anyone but he, and he alone, ever beckoned its walls, but in passing. Not with the wine cellar and the larder so near a distraction. But he stood corrected, and very wrong. The Inquisitor had balled herself into the frayed velvet armchair, her knees pulled tight to her body and crammed beneath the overdrawn wool of her sweater. She hiccuped and looked up from her red-eyed stupor, cradling a tall bottle beneath her chin. Registering the man filling the dark doorway, she deliberately set the bottle to her lips once more before a stretched, unhurried sip. "I never thought you much for the drinker," Solas watched her with a masked unresponsiveness, returning once more behind the wall he'd so carefully maintained before their incurred frivolities. It was necessary now. She had already seen too much and worn his staunch resolve nearly through, leaving wide perforations in places that could not be painlessly repaired. He'd already considered that it might be better if he left. It would be easier to avoid her entirely with miles or an entire mountain chain between them. But they were both still intrinsically part of the Inquisition, and their paths had to cross again eventually. "I'm not sure what anyone thinks of me anymore," Chio groaned loudly, rolling her stiff neck until it gave a satisfying pop. "Oh, wait. That's a lie. Forgive me for being so naive. They'll think I opened one damn rift too many and ended the world before Corypheus gets another chance. Wouldn't that be perfect? All this hard work and sacrifice wasted because of an elf tried to fix things for people who don't care what the cost." She began to chuckle and blunt, rough, and mostly to herself. Solas eyed her as he crossed the narrow room, spotting the newly crafted tomb she'd cast aside. Pages carelessly splayed on the shabby, smudged floor. He corrected the volume, returning it to the safety of the desk. Their entire lives had been altered by the sole manipulation of the veil. They lacked understanding, but they would forget such apprehension once they would see the magic put to better use. "And once this is over..." She hiccuped again, pressing the cool, green-tinted glass to her overly warm cheek. "What will they do with me, then? How long will my good deeds keep me from behind bars or out of exile? Oh. Or their favorite option for dangerous mages, death. They might jump at that chance. Grind me up, put an end to this nonsense, and name a temple after me, after my decaying ashes." It would not be the first time. He pried the nearly empty wine bottle from her hands, soliciting an unbecoming pout from the despairing mage in the chair. Solas spotted the cork on the well-worn desk. With her utility knife stuck in what remained of the destroyed topper, it had been an excellent vintage before she'd abused it with her excesses. 869 was a notably decent year. There was no sense in wasting the last few succulent mouthfuls. He swiftly drained the last of the bold, acidic contents, finishing the theft before she made herself sick. "Thank you for the confidence," Chio huffed, watching the exceedingly provoking pulses of his taut throat from the corner of her peeved eye. For a roused moment, she wondered if the tart liquor would taste any different on the broad lips currently puckered around the narrow mouth of the bottle. "And then another steals my drink. Wonderful. Not that I was thirsty or anything." "I think you've had plenty." He set the consumed bottle on the desk beside the book, ignoring her evident irritation. His tongue and esophagus burned as the flavor passed, sending a low liquid fire all the way to his stomach. Solas would have pegged the sweet-toothed mage to have been lighter in preference taste instead of the heavy red she'd pilfered, though more likely she'd only made a grab for whatever was nearest in reach. "And I think you're being unfair." The Inquisitor's words were beginning to blunder a bit more. But even though her wine-induced haze, the intent was sharp-sighted and clear. She was not pleased with their new conditions, not when all had been going so well before he'd recuperated from his injuries. That following morning had begun a painful separation anew. Chio had not been accepted back into his arms since that terror-filled night had passed. His reverted iciness and separationness had both confused and bruised her deeply. She'd rescued him from the depths of his despair with empty, open hands and forgiving lips, and in return he discarded her affections and withdrawn fully from her company. Solas set his face into solemn veneer. It hurt to force the distance again. They'd hardly spoken since their return, nor had he touched her once since his frightful recovery. He had made himself intentionally unavailable, not as punishment, but for his own sake and vulnerability. His disposition had already failed him miserably. Solas was his own worst betrayer. He dared not even to entertain what another gentle stroke might do to his mate, and knew not if he would survive the temptation of having her so near again. Already he struggled to keep his seeking fingers still and away. "There are other duties we must consider, Inquisitor. Where are there should have been solid responsibility and good intentions, Solas only heard his own growing doubts. He evaded her direct gaze, denying the corporeal plea of wine-stained lips, asking for the end of their affections, or the short waves of white hair that solicited to be tucked back behind a delicate ear. I don't care. They don't suit me. Lacking all sense of the grace she'd normally be capable of, Chio rose. The woozy inquisitor stood on the seat of the chair, using the added height to force his recognition. She wobbled tentatively, knees unsteady beneath her, towering a full head over the taciturn apostate that had pulled away. "Why do you do this?" he chafed and forbade his hand, the attempt at bracing her, even as Chio faltered on the worn-out upholstery. "Emphasis. You wouldn't understand because you're tall." She tried not to lurch, casting herself on the high back of the precarious chair that rocked on stumpy legs. "So when Krem does it, it's chair, chrismic eccentric, but when I do it..." "You're drunk," Solas cautioned, shaking his head in apparent disappointment. He must be firm. He must not break from his resolution again. He could ill afford to have her change any of the scant remnants of his once-balanced world. Conviction and resolution had abandoned Solas's mindset. His plans no longer held any weight or value while he was in her presence. Not if he couldn't include her in the future he strove for. She was never supposed to have exceeded the limits of a pleasant distraction or flirtatious colleague. "You love me." The bold words hung in the dry, stagnant air, remaining between them thick and rich as Orlesian tapestry, each tiny syllable effervescent hue in the woven emotion that wrapped its way about his ears. It fell heavily over his shoulders and nodded against the increase of his desperate heart. A repressed fantasy of her mouth made real, given weight and composition, an offering to come in and out of the lonesome cold and into a warm embrace. "You hardly know of me or my interests," Moore lies to feed himself, but they refuse to be swallowed, clinging to the back of his tongue more than the thick-legged wine had. That was the problem, wasn't it? That she knew but didn't know. That she had slipped so far into the dark reaches of his heart with no light of honesty to guide her path that he doubted he could ever remove her wholly. He might place half the world between them and still never be relinquished by this one small elf. Solas could spend the rest of his cheerless life drawing out tiny glowing filaments of golden bliss, threads left behind in her brief stay from where she'd tried to piece him back together, forever making her well attempts at loving him. "Oh, don't I?" the Inquisitor swayed as she tipped forward, leaning as close as she could get without touching him. Her lips curled into a seductive grin, round, binding words of wrinkled silk, looking down through lowered lids how miserably breathless the man before her had just become. "I can prove it." The weakness was coming back again. How easily it could be to give in and have her once more. It had to be the wine, Solas thought, making his heart race as he stared into her softening eyes. Solas raised his rejecting hands, on the cusp of turning her words once more against her wit, but he was forced to revoke his withdrawal as she unexpectedly slipped off the tattered seat. "Careful!" The apostate dipped to catch her, managing to seize the drunken herald against his shoulder without her ever being in danger of hitting the unforgiving floor. "You reckless ration!" his sharp tongue rant sizzled out as she laughed, her body shaking with all it had against him. Realization dawned on her intent. He'd misjudged her superficially random behavior, not entirely or honest as arbitrarily as he'd first concluded. Chio must have discovered what he'd been hiding here, then figured out his routine patterns on when to find him, and finally she calculated exactly how far she'd had to push to draw him right back in. Solas had been outwitted before he'd ever known he'd been playing a game. "You knew I'd catch you. Please don't hate me." Chio wheezed through her delight as he hoisted her higher onto his shoulder so that she hung down his back, as gangly as a sack of vegetables or a bolt of limp cotton. Rump in the air, hip pressed to his ears, was not the most honorable appearing transference. "I could never hate you," Solas sighed in conceding resignation. hooking an arm behind her knees to keep her steady and from being dumped on her curly head. "But I am putting you to bed before any more trouble comes of this indiscretion." "So serious," Chio grumbled, hiding her eyes from the dizzying array of patterns passing on the tiles below as she was carried off. Varric said the exact same thing. Not so elegant, mind you. Too important for shenana or something. He also said I was quite heavy. "You're not." Solas was not burdened by the weight of her body. He was by no means imposing in feature. He was not as slight of build as many of the modern elves had become through necessity and scarcity. It was the nearness that hampered him. Her promising warmth could not be remembered as it permeated his rigid body where they met. The smell of her skin could not be kept from his nose, lingering fragrances of recent soap, currant, and apricot, undoubtedly a gift of Antedian origin. The laden mage industriously carried her up the stairs, back towards the main public hall. At this late hour, they were likely to find it empty, all for the better considering their strange, indecorous entanglement. "Cole says our magic is comparable. What do you make of that?" Chio mused as they surmounted the first climb. Her gentle tracing of the rib knit in his tunic was already enough to drive him mad, fingers toying at the tight fabric over the small of his back. Solas was doubtful if he could mentally endure the following flights. "You speak much of your friends," Solas jostled her, his own unminding fingers finding scornful reason to trail against the back of her snugly bound tights. Perhaps he could keep her talking, to move away from the especially recent declaration and focus on matters beyond their condemning liaison. Any distraction would suffice to force his mind into other notions. "I use similar techniques, yes, although it took me years to learn them. But why did you choose such an esoteric area of study? Surely there were other options." "It seemed to be my calling, wouldn't you say? You know, the whole mark business and using the veil as my personal plaything." Her voice dropped in the velvet mimcry, disapproval of the suggestion profoundly audible. She gestured a hand flippantly, brushing away the grieving ridicule. "Is that how Madame de Fer termed it?" Zola speculated, as if that's how their argument had sparked. Though patronizing the insinuation, he'd paused at the next doorway, glancing first for unwanted spectators before crossing the quiet hall. Solas caught only the retreating figures of an enigmatic warden and a dark-haired, golden-swathed ambassador in his arm. A quiet courtship of respectable and chivalrous nature. There was nothing so insidious to hide between the virtuous twosome. Their slow departure left the hall uninhabited. "Possibly," she returned with a sheepish indignity, straining as her ribs pressed too hard against the breadth of his shoulder. The Inquisitor would have sworn her previously soused endeavor with the dwarf had been more comfortable. Perhaps it was because she was so much closer to the ground the last time she'd been hauled from the overindulging on drink. He most certainly had not managed to carry her up the creaking stairs to her quarters. Varric had only been kind enough to drop Chio, deserting her at the first door, and wish luck for her dubious journey. The tall mage took each step with the same careful treatment he had given her as he had before his changed attitude. Mindful, gentle, steadfast. "It's not a game, though. I just do things that don't make much sense. They just happen and make a mess." "Shit, that doesn't make sense either. Are we adding tonight's foolery to that list?" He flinched with harassed jab, soundly poked with a sharp thumb to his flank. The mean joke had not been missed by the quick herald. Finally, Solas reached her lofty, well-furnished room, still mentally intact for all he could measure. "You're an ass and you know it," the inebriated elf wiggled again, seeking the solid floor that was far from easy reach. If she stretched, her hands might find the back of his knees, but instead she used them to try to push away from a sturdy torso. "My head already hurts. And with that, I'm certain you're still drunk." Solas proceeded to march with her still caught on his shoulder beyond the short sofa by the stair and past her available bed. As an alternative to simply depositing Chio to her mattress, he continued into the small washroom tucked beneath the unused second level. "Hey, you missed it. My bed that was That was all she could manage before being briskly jumped into the cold, undrained bath she had enjoyed several hours prior when it had been freshly drawn. The Inquisitor had flat-out refused any additional service on her behalf, requiring nothing more than someone to watch her cultured plants while she was away. It embarrassed her to think of anyone coming behind her handling her mess. She could manage her own effects, make her own bed, and empty her own bath. But even when it seemed that a servant or two couldn't help themselves but to dust and tidy when the herald's room, when they found reason enough to be there, the chilly water made her sputter and gasp as she burst upright, coughing and soaking the floor in her startled haste. Curses fled from her furious mouth towards the fleeing man, who left her to recover from the sudden shock. Hackles raised, she clambered out of the wooden tub, slipping on the slick surface as she went on, tumbling hand and knee, livid as a cat tossed for a soak. She had righted herself by the time she reached the open door. "Oh, good. You failed to drown. Feeling better?" Solas asked cautiously from his poised seat at the foot of her bed. A dark, severe gaze met her, knowing all too well how harsh she had chosen to be. "Fahendis non haralen," Chio viciously spat, stumbling across the chilly floor, water running off her clothes in heavy rivulets. "I've taught you better words than that," he jibed in return, arms crossed, waiting unwearily for her next onslaught. A sharp brightness had returned to her eyes as she forced the dripping mop of hair away from her reddened face. Though he couldn't say the light in them hadn't come from an unbridled storm, lightning lived in her brilliant soul, and she'd never shown hesitation in using it. "There are other matters you and I must discuss, your new magic being one of them. What you are trying to master is a dangerous even at best, but it seems you are more concerned with how others perceive you than the hazards of using rift magic." She fought to liberate herself from the cumbersome knit that hung from her frame and sagged nearly to her knees in a watery weight. With effort, she finally cast the slopping lamb's wool aside to splatter thickly on the stone. The Inquisitor's chest rose and fell with riled haste beneath the thin undershirt, undaunted by the transparent exposure. Resentment coursed through her veins as she scrutinized him with clenched fists, shaking to her sides. It wouldn't be hard, Solas thought, to get her to despise him. A few little pushes, the right words, enough unsympathetic rejection to spurn her affections, and the fatal agitation of his heart would be over. No involvement, no conflict, just pure, objective, rational once more. It was simple. Except it wasn't. Nothing about evading his love for her ever could be. Together, they had never known uncomplicatedness. Through everything that had transpired, except the inescapable falling itself. That had been wretchedly easy, so tempting and innocuous at first. Only in trying to retreat did he even realize he'd already been hopelessly trapped. Instead of the anger he had anticipated to ignite, Solas instead watched as she slipped into sinking sorrowfulness. The prior plotting at her worst fears had left her internalizing each choice and mistake, keeping every ounce of perceived blame for herself. "If I succeed, they'll reject me once this is done. They'll look at me as another potential threat." Her voice cracked bleakly as she shuddered with a turbulent mixture of being cold and drowning, certain for the future. Sola sat in silence as she emotionally spiraled, standing immobile in the midst of the spreading puddle. Chio had already constrained her fury inwards, forcing it back down without self-mercy and merged it with the pain as a compassionate spirit had recently renewed. "And if I fail, they will soon denounce and forget me, because we'll all be dead or worse." There were weighty words for such a light and expressive mouth, for one who hadn't seen the final cost of failure. But Solas was content enough to hear her understanding their situation at large. He considered her the devoted heart he should have never taken or played with, grown so morose and resigned and unbelievably beautiful. It was difficult to prevent his eyes from tracing the outlines of her saturated chest, the evident blush of stiffened nipples, a tantalizing display beneath the clinging cotton tunic she shivered in. A guilty glance was enough to make him regret ever bringing her here in the first place. He should have turned and walked away from that dusty study door the moment it had opened. "There are many who will see you through to the end," he added, with feigned indifference. Hers was a story Solas was already too familiar with. His efforts to change the world had come with a debt he feared would never be paid off, no matter how many years were left to him. He'd had lifetimes to slowly create what had supposed to have been the perfect solution and had failed woefully. But the Inquisitor had mere months, maybe a single year, if fortunes were generous, to do the same. There were no odds in her favor beyond dumb luck and courageous perseverance. He'd had the fully powered orb to help him then. She'd have nothing more than an unstable key. "They will step away and watch me from a safe difference? Could they?" Inquisitor suppressed words that felt erroneous as she began to approach him. "They're frightened. They've always been. And now they have a real reason to." She crossed the open floor, her wet feet slapped the hard stone until they found the thick rub beneath her bed. Chiyo stepped near but held out her hand, flinching as the mark flickered sourly from overuse. Breaching the forced gap, she placed her infected palm over his chest, studying the gaining thrum below. "Are you afraid of me too?" she asked, fingers sliding upwards, crossing his collarbone and throat until they found the sharp line of his jaw. The vivid green light from her palm glowing against his wanting skin. One meager touch would have broken Solas, but now his fate was sealed and doomed entirely. "Look at me and tell me you aren't afraid. I remember what you called me that night, the way it fell from your tongue." Gazing down her thick lashes, Chiyo searched through his impassively held face for an unexpected truth. She inched forward, pressing her dampened thighs against his knees. "Monster masked in flesh. You meant that." His eyes closed, bidding in vain for his hands to lay unmoved, but he was captivated by the bewitching and perilous invitation. The ravenous want in him strengthened, chasing away the qualms of retribution and the violency of his need. There had been a time when he would have bowed to no one or bent from any conceivable reason, when others had trembled when he dared darken their doors and no adversaries challenged his will. But the wolf, lurker of nightmares and harbinger of dread within him, had been laid low by a mere mortal woman who knew not his designation or the grievances he bore against her people. "I'm afraid." Solas turned into her feather light trace, his lips chancing the flesh of her wrist as he spoke. "Very afraid." He couldn't lie. She'd stolen all his willpower and left him defenseless. She'd been born in the wrong age. Had she existed in the golden era of Elven, her gifts would have been celebrated and praised through the centuries. She stood a chance of rising through the ranks any circle her choosing, with enough following to have ascended the highest honors. But then again, who was to say the fates would have been equally as cruel, left in a caste where her talents would have been squandered or even abused, where rivals could have torn her apart for her advancements or killed her out of jealousy? But not because of that. The Inquisitor's breath hitched in awaited misery, but Solas continued, covering the offending hand with his own, pressing it firmly against his face. The strain of the failed attempts to sever his affections had grown too fierce. He couldn't do it. Not like this. His longings were already sown deep. How long had he been so shamefully tangled in her kindly traps, spared this last killing blow? "You've undone me, Chiyo. All of me. What do I have left to fight with that you have not taken?" Solas ardently pulled her to him, hating himself ever more as he did what he could not be permitted. He had to let her go, to forge the distance once again, but that did not stop him from grazing her granting lips and offered jaw. Duty did not halt him from satisfying the emptiness of the hands that had sought her in vain each night since they'd returned home. Guilt failed to stall his fingers from sliding over damp clothes that clung to her chilled skin. Shame had lost its leash. His starved mouth skimmed the pulsing vein of her throat, provoking a sudden gasp when he applied his blunt teeth. "Why do you tease me so?" he protested. As Chiyo pulled away, her cheeks rosy with a gratified discomposure. Solas stretched for her again as she evaded his hungry hold. He was lost for the security of inhibition. "Will you make a beggar as well as a fool of me?" "You think too much of Ananara," Chiyo gloated with a playful smirk, wrestling away her second lair with a deliberate gradualness and letting it join the sodden sweater. She too could play the little game he'd often tortured her with, denying satisfaction throughout their briefly amorous interludes. I'm tired of thinking and talking and worrying and lamenting, aren't you? Now, your turn. Solas hooked his fingers into the nape of his shirt, pulling it and the totem he no longer wished to bear off in a clean swoop. They slipped away to the floor, dropping in a small pile. It was senseless to cast aside such an ancient resolute, but he felt entirely subject to her whim. His determined eyes never faltered from her form, lingering over modest damp breasts and down a slender waist and the unexplored beginnings of curved hips. "You've led most of tonight's conversation, have you not?" Her nakedness had been witnessed before. The sight should not have caught the air inside his lungs. The scar from an arrow removed remained from that dark, terrifying night when he'd first compromised his reservations. There was nothing uncommon about her physicality. Small, lean-muscled, flecked with earned markings from trials in various degrees. But the bursting soul that lived just beneath the skin, rare and remarkable, stood before him now, accepting and unabashed. Accepting and unashamed. That alone was marvel enough. Just making up for lost time. The small flicker of mischievousness returned as she played with the lacings on her breeches. He dared not consider if she knew the torment each slow, deliberate pull created. "I don't want you to avoid me anymore. I won't let you." Solas had not been wrong in his initial description of her personality. Indomitable, indeed, in both focus and will. He'd gathered the rest of the world could turn their back on her and she would manage somehow, but not him. She would never accept such a discarding, and there would be punishment and retribution for the attempt. How far gone had he already fallen when he'd spoken to her in Haven, ensnared by bright eyes and inquisitive words? But just as quickly as it had been ignited, her heated mood immediately floundered when she tried to slide the undone tanned leather off her hips. "Oh, shit!" Her annoyed voice canceled the sensual entreaty. Have you changed your mind?" inquired Solas, his fervor rapidly draining, leaving behind only a budding amusement. He watched her strained attempts to dislodge her breeches, hopping in place, pushing to minimal avail. The dehydrating leather had begun to shrink, constricting around her hips and legs. Chio turned shamefully red as she struggled, nearly tripping on the moistened carpet in her untimely misfortune. Still not on the dry side of sobriety, the Inquisitor began to panic, gracelessly bent over at the waist. "They won't come off!" "You're not joking!" The apostate gasped as she spun, flopping belly down onto the bed as she whimpered in defeat, unhappily pleading for aid and in an attempt to be put to her embarrassment. "Oh, just shut up and help me. This is your fault." Chio griped as he began to chuckle faintly, the absurdity of her condition disarming the havoc of his strident convictions. So Solas leaned over and took a firm hold of the tailored material around her hips, his soft snicker growing ever more into an open, robust laugh. She caught hold of a bedpost before he gave a rather sharp tug, releasing her nearly to the tops of her thighs and stole a diverted stroke from her exposed rump with a passing finger. "Says the woman who steals extra sweet rolls," he teased lowly, barely evading a well-deserved kick. He pulled again, turning her trousers inside out and setting her free as he himself was nearly dismounted from the wide bed. One more chance. He could still walk away. It wasn't too late. The sincere, smiling apostate knew he shouldn't be here, more than well enough. However, knowing alone wasn't sufficient to stop him. He shouldn't be in her bedroom, not at this hour, stripping her of clothes like some boyish reprobate caught up in an illicit dalliance. But the horrified, indignant look she threw at him then was almost enough to make up for the disgrace he'd become. "You'd do it too!" With rosy cheeks puffed, humiliating, provoked, she rolled over before dashing the offending garment away into the slopping pile. I'm not the one getting stuck in my clothes, Solas paused, standing to leave. But he was consumed by our stark nearness, donned in nothing more than blood writing that tarnished the high reaches of her cheekbones, of branches that never had swayed through every storm she'd borne them through. But something was missing, marked only by a thin red line at the base of her neck. A cherished memento was glaringly absent. Your necklace? Solas could not hold his questioning. It seemed much unlike her to have it removed it for all its sentimental significance. Don't ask. Not tonight. She denied to answer as she reached out and hooked her fingers into his belt, encouraging his unhurried return to her bed. Solas didn't argue against the light pull. It was all the reinforcement he needed to justify his next excuse to touch her. His hands slipped haltingly down the supple skin beneath her breasts, stopping only when they had discovered a more than satisfying home against the outer curve of her hips as she straddled his receding lap. He would not be so quick to escape again, and disbelieved that another occasion would do such would find him any time soon. "Your turn," she whispered again beside his ears. Indulgent lips tormented as they danced against lobe while she spoke. The allure of her skin against his own was maddening, but the mage didn't dare stop considering the way to make the forbidden delight he felt go away. He shouldn't tell her no, declining her tempting offer with some shade of politeness, wishing her a good evening and leave without pushing his boundaries any further. It was wrong. He'd never intended to let things stray so far from their original plan. But Solas could not abuse her benevolence, knowing that, with all likelihood, they both would never see the end of this era. What was one more night folded in her arms when the first one, so chaste and broken, had not been enough as he had so hoped it might have been. The second, weeks before, had shown him how to feel whole again, even as he lay shattered beside her. Maybe a third would teach him a lesson, and they would finally part. But already, Solas could picture a fourth, a fifth, and an endless nine of evenings that were possible. Their destiny could already be finalized despite all he knew, with no choice, no changing enough to spare them the fate he'd been privy to foresee. Solas could have lied well enough to see her off, but she stole every word he wanted to say through spirited kisses alone. They beckoned for a free answer to all she'd offered. She deserved the truth. To know his name, his crimes, his past. But he failed to recall why any of that mattered now. Reason taken by the same lips again, the eagerly fallen mage could not break the heart of the lone soul who let him in, even though he'd distorted her emotions like ruled and regimented game. Perhaps he could play a little longer while he still had the opportunity. I don't believe you're ready for that. They were not the words he knew he should have said, but they sought her delicately pointed ears regardless. He shouldn't covet her embrace, her smile, her love, but the overthrowing want again refused to listen to his warning pleas. How many bounds from platonic had he left behind since he'd first felt the soft calling, each tiny step explained away as necessity. As necessary or well-intended. What had one kiss been in the scheme of everything? What was another for all that it mattered? But this was provocative and perilous. How many ages had passed since he'd last touched another so? He had no right to explore a body as she assailed his lips again, leaving them warm and swollen with breathless veneration. The soft sighs that the enticement of her breasts, the arch of her back as he traced her fingers along her spine and smooth rear. The stiffening of her hips as he trailed further below all encouraged his ardent voyaging. The awakening, flushed Dalish woman in his arms reacted in a sudden squeak of alarm at his startling discoveries. Surprised by the forward intimacy of his strumming fingers. If I've made you uncomfortable, we can stop, he nervously assured, hurriedly removing an apprehensive hand as she hastily dislodged from his touch. The tense musculature of her legs trembled against his own. No, just Just slower, please. Chiyo confessed, eyes cast down and blushing. Her cheeks radiated with tangible heat as she relaxed, guiding his hand back, accompanied by her own. He continued as she wrapped her free arm about his shoulders, pressing her brow against his more tense one. Her breath found his skin in light waves, each a new, inspiring indicator of preference. With her added subtle instruction, the more skilled hand of an artist took over, almost disconnected of their initial over-eagerness, generous and considering, adding a flourish of layers to each touch, his silent hands, made of careful study, the ministrations made her shudder and seek the stability of his neck, leaving minuscule, promising bites as solace persisted, letting her roving hands stroke his face and trail down his back. His touches were emboldened by each welcoming solicitation until she could bear no more of the physical repartee. Chiyo pushed him back in earnest, catching him in a stunned daze. She daringly began to liberate him from the constraining confines of his trousers. Small, nimble fingers unknotted the simple belts, ignoring his half-hearted objection as the patched work linen was filched from his limbs and tossed away with far greater ease than hers had. Her work left him unadorned on her comfortable bedspread, but her staring eyes, bold and curious, could not veil their justly confused inquiry at his exposure. "Are you disappointed?" Solas probed, an unapologetic smirk sneaking across his lips. Pride had little to be embarrassed of, but her audible puzzlement only exhilarated his more impish antics. No, I just didn't expect auburn. She noted further the hairs that thickened low on his belly. Her exploring fingers taunted and beguiled him further, deliberate and stirring. The touches stayed just light enough to punish. He had still not been forgiven for his prior extended invasions, it seemed. "You'd call it that, almost? I can't imagine you with a full head of hair that color. I never pegged you for being a redhead." "I believe I have forgotten the image of myself," Solas assured her, provisionally conceding to the pleasant handling. Those alluring hands traced his body unabashed in their curiosity as they left him further wanting. Leisurely caressing, strolled in flea-floating passes. His skin tingled beneath her florid fingertips and the added occasionally delightful torment of her nails. Passing lips followed her hands. Pleasing lips followed her hands. Tiny nips with her teeth were smoothed by reconciling kisses, climbing his laid-back form. He claimed the wandering lips as he slowly pulled her back to meet him face to face. Solas laced his fingers through her short, snowy tresses. Holding her steady, he buried his mouth and nose against her rich-smelling hair that was still moist at the roots. Keeping them in a moment of worrying stillness, Chiyo stretched, resting lightly atop his chest and torso, respecting his need for a clarifying pause. "Is this truly what you want of me? I do not deserve you. I've made horrendous mistakes that no will not wash away." He fought to hold in the secrets that rushed away at the chance to be heard. His name! Why couldn't he say his own damn name? The one he'd sworn with pride instead of the intended insult. He'd sealed it away with all he'd left. There'd be no end of the suffering if he could not commit to withholding it. "You refuse to let me suffer and heal what I neglect. There is no part of my life that I could possibly offer to you that would ever surpass what you've already gifted mine with. You're enough. I need nothing more than you are, Solas." The name he'd rebranded himself as a constant reminder of failure changed as Chiyo murmured it and resealed it against his availing lips. No longer heavy and dead with damnation, tarnished with the unkind years, the word became alive with the possibility for renewal and replenishing as rain shower rushing into an exhausted parched wool, welcoming him as whomever he wanted to be or whoever he'd always been from the moment forward, that name. He was going to make her say that name again and again until the old surrender to be slain by love and hands that would never hurt him. Late morning light finally cast itself low enough to disturb the sleeping inquisitor. Groaning satisfyingly, she rolled in her empty bed, pandering the still warm sheets for the missing occupant. Chio cracked her eyes. She hadn't heard him leave. Judging by the brightness, she was already hours late for training and many other duties. Her muscles protested at the mere thought. She'd more than earned a day off for her exertions. An object on her bedside table caught her eye as she sat up, stretched sleepily, and smoothing the tousled hair that had caught her about her ears. She reached for the tiny carving, holding the vigilant guardian between her thumb and finger. Chio recognized the miniature runaway, smiling at his return. She ran a fingertip across the proud profile, his eyes always watching for dangers ahead and ears pricked with unyielding focus. Even as an outcast, he had not abandoned his sacred duty. Where did you go, little wolf? In the story, Fenharel was captured by the hunting goddess, Andruel. He had angered her by hunting the Hala without her blessing. She had tied him to a tree and declared that he would serve her in bed for a year and a day to pay her back. But as he made camp that night, the dark goddess Anaris found them. Anaris swore that he would kill Fenharel for the crimes against the Forgotten Ones. Andruel and Anaris decided they would duel for the right to claim Fenharel. He called out Anaris during the fight and told him of a flaw in Andruel's armor just above the hip. And Anaris stabbed Andruel in the side, and she fell. Then Fenharel told Anaris that he owed the Dread Wolf for the victory, and ought to be at his freedom. Anaris was so affronted by Fenharel's audacity that he turned and shouted insults at the prisoner, and so he did not see Andruel, injured but alive, rise behind him and attack her with the great blow. Anaris fell with a golden arrow in his back, badly injured, and while both gods slumbered to heal their wounds, Fenharel chewed through his ropes and escaped. Codex Felisan Tubriola.